Our neighbor has a bigger house, maybe a nicer car, or the latest flat screen TV. We can want what he has or choose to be grateful for what we've been given. Men, are we ambitious or are we envious? Hi, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues we might think about but don't talk about very much. We're doing a series on the deadly sins, and envy is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on envy. Let's meet the Crossing the Goal team. The Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. The Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And our coach here on Crossing the Goal, he coached in the NFL, was an all-pro wide receiver, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, we're talking about envy this time. Peter, what's the root of envy?
Well, you know, again, we're talking about deadly sins. It's one of the deadly sins that is, it's got the power to kill the life of God in us. So it's pretty serious stuff we're talking about. And envy is a little different than, like in your opening, you're talking about, you know, my neighbor's TV, do I want to possess what my neighbor has? That's covetousness, I think, generally speaking, but envy is even a little bit different than covetousness in that it's, I don't even want you to have it. You know, and if you have it, I'm sad that you have it. I'm saddened by whatever good that comes to you, and I don't want you to experience good, and I can't rejoice in your good. And ultimately, what it does is it violates the golden rule and the commandments. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. That's why it really is dangerous.
Yeah, I think we look at ourselves out here, and we're not pleased with ourselves and what we have and all that kind of stuff. So we start thinking and probing around and looking at other people and trying to compare ourselves to other people. So, well, why don't I have what they have? You know, trying to compare ourselves that. And then we say, well, that person, look what they have. They're lucky. You know, look what he gets. Why does he get all the breaks? I don't get anything. Instead of saying, like you were mentioning, you know, I'm happy for that person. I'm sort of glad that they have that, whatever they have, and be happy with what we have in life. I don't think we're happy with what we have in life. Mm-hmm.
The challenge with envy and why it's so dangerous, and particularly dangerous right now, is that we're called to greatness. Mm-hmm. Each of us are. And envy looks at the man who strives for greatness and is sad and even angered by your excellence, by whatever you're achieving. If you look at the beginning, the very first verse in the Psalms, this is what it says. And note the progression here. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You can imagine a guy, don't walk, kind of you're going by, don't walk like that. And then once you've found somebody, you settle in, you're like, well, don't stand. Then if you are really serious, you sit down. And it says, don't sit with the scoffers. What do scoffers do? They look at somebody trying to be great, and they mock them, they tear them down. And the issue as far as overcoming envy is, don't be bitter, be a builder. Don't be a mocker, be a maker. We need to rise above what we are today by God's grace and not be sorrowed when other men try to do it.
We can expend a lot of energy envying others when we can be looking more at ourselves to be our best instead of trying to be the best, comparing ourselves to everybody else.
You know, I see also out here sometimes it really alarms me a little bit. Not only are people envious, but they start thinking, why is God punishing me? That I don't have this, I need this. We're comparing it always with things. You know, you look at some of our lives, all of us came from humble backgrounds, and be pleased with it. I wasn't envious. I had a lot of friends, had a lot of money. I wasn't envious of them. I mean, I just, what I had looked pretty good to me.
Yeah.
No, you see that when envy gets a hold of you, it starts with a sadness because Brian's got something I want, or you've got something I want, Danny, and I, all of a sudden now I've gone from wanting that to actually being sad you have it. I start to even hate you, and really then it turns back to God. You're not fair, Lord, because you've dealt them better hand than me. And now you're at war with your maker. And rather than rejoicing in what you have, be grateful for that and allow God to bless that. Not necessarily by making it bigger, but by making you grateful for what you have. God has given us all enough.
You know, sometimes depression, people get themselves into a state of depression and despair just because of envy, not just because of some kind of chemical thing going on inside me, but literally have just convinced themselves, I got a raw deal. I got a raw deal. And why do they have that and I don't want them to have that. Why should they have it and not me? And that whole cycle is there, and it really is deadly.
And it pulls all of us down into mediocrity.
Yeah, it really does.
And you guys have a game plan you'll share with us. Dealing with envy through gratitude. It's coming up next here on Crossing the Goal, right after this quick timeout.
If you're any type of, you have any type of success, you're around a lot of people that are successful, and sometimes you get caught up in that whirlwind of envy. And sometimes you got to take a step back and look where you came from, and then try and control that. And if anything, that's probably one of the things that I'll probably have to work on the rest of my life.
Welcome back. We're talking about envy, the deadly sin of envy. You know, the scripture says that through envy, death came into the world. The devil's envy, he was envious of what? He got wind of what God was planning for the human race in Jesus Christ. That the human race was going to be elevated because of the unique role of God in God's plan. And the devil was envious of it. I can't have it. I don't want anyone else to have it. I'm going to bring death into the world, and I'm going to steal from them what is theirs. Instead of being able to rejoice in it, he couldn't stand it because he couldn't have it.
No, you see this, what begins with the desire for something else and then spirals out of control into a death spiral of envy. So you start and you look over, and if I'm battling on this slope, I look at you and what you have. You're a good teacher, or you've got a nice house. Whatever the object is, it doesn't really matter. It could be a gift or a talent. Could be a possession. And I look at it, and I start with, gosh, I would like that. Yeah. And there's really nothing necessarily wrong there. That could inspire me to work harder.
I like that kind of talent. I wish I had that kind of
talent.
Or I might aspire to that kind of talent.
Exactly. Yeah. But it starts there, and then it turns. And it begins this sinful death spiral. And so it begins from, well, I like what you have. And then it's like, I'd like to take what you have because I want it.
Yeah.
So I want yours. I don't want to be like you. I want to take what you have. I want to take it away from you, and I want it for myself.
Right.
That's bad. Now you're in sin, but it spirals far worse than that. Then it says, I don't care whether you have it or not. I actually just want to take it away from you. I don't even need it anymore. Right. I want to break what you have.
Yeah.
I actually will violence to you.
Yeah.
And then finally, the thing itself, the gift, the talent, it's not even an issue. I just don't like you anymore. I'm saddened by what you've been given to you, and I actually want to do you in. The issue, the gift, the talent, the possession is out of the equation altogether. Now all of a sudden, we're in deep hatred. And that's where the devil sits with regards to the human family.
Yeah.
He's far beyond wanting to take what we have. He just hates us because God desires to bless us.
And when we end up, sometimes it can spiral down to the level you're talking about. We end up cooperating with the devil's own envy. You know, he helps empower us, you might say. He drives us. He speaks into our ear. Yeah, you're right. He shouldn't have it. That creep shouldn't have that. Go get it from him. Take it away from him. Talk about him to other people. Bring him down. Do whatever you can. You know, stir gossip. And we do this stuff sometimes spontaneously without even thinking about it because there's something inside our hearts. And, well, what's the antidote to this problem of envy?
We need to have gratitude. We need to be thankful for what we have and be able to trust that God wants to bless what we have and allow us to grow into who we're supposed to be. I'm not supposed to compete with you.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be the best version of myself.
Yeah. Paul says, rejoice always, pray constantly. Well, what do I have to rejoice in? You could say, you know, the antidote is gratitude. Be grateful. Well, I don't feel grateful. Well, you don't feel grateful because at this point, you don't see what God has given to you. You don't know the treasure that you are. You don't know that he's already given you a kingdom in his son. So you see the saints. Now, the saints dialed into this so well. They had nothing. People like St. Francis and, you know, the whole history of Catholic saints, their hearts were full. They possessed the pearl of great price, and they realized, I've been given everything. I've been given a kingdom. Are you kidding? All the rest of this stuff is petty. Why would I envy anything? I simply want to now please the Lord because he's already given me far beyond what I could ask or imagine in my life.
Any earthly possession, any earthly talent is a trinket compared to the pearl of great price. Yeah. I have been blessed so greatly in Christ and in heavenly places that I should be able to gladly rejoice with the extras. Oh, I'm so glad you have what you have, and that's really neat. Now I'm completely freed up to rejoice when good things. I see it in my kids sometimes. Not the envy, but the seeds of envy, because we have this proclivity towards it. Yeah. It's a birthday for one of my children, and they're getting gifts. And another child's going, well, where's mine? You actually have a birthday. And you're going to have gifts on your birthday.
Right,
it's not
right.
like you didn't get a birthday.
Yeah.
It's just yours isn't today.
Yeah.
And there's this sadness. Well, wait. That's something we want to kill.
Yeah.
And so we have to teach people to my kids and all of us to love those who are being blessed, to be not only grateful for what I have, but be grateful for what God's doing in other people's lives as well.
Here's where the Lord wants to get us. I love Psalm 16. Talks about the Lord is our portion. Here's the psalmist. He says in verse 5, the Lord is my portion and my cup. He holds my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. At night my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Verse 9, he says, therefore my heart is glad. My soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. For thou dost not give me up to death, or let thy godly one see the pit. Thou dost show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I mean, this is a heart that is being transformed and grasping the gift of God himself. And he says, God is the God of pleasure. I'm experiencing a full heart, God's provision. He's my portion. I want to give. I don't care what everybody else has. I have a superabundance already in Christ.
And a blessed inheritance. I mean, you're moving from good to better, and from better to best. Because what we have now, as we walk with the Lord, we possess the pearl, but soon we'll be walking with the Lord in a land where there are no tears, where everything is perfect. And God is preparing that for us even now, a mansion, he tells us.
Yeah.
I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Amen,
I wouldn't
man.
Tell you that
Amen.
If it weren't true.
Yeah,
and so why would you worry about these little things right here and now?
Right.
And you see that envy gets to us because, as you said earlier, the saints' hearts are full. When envy is so deadly, because it's an indication that our hearts are empty, that they need to be filled, and the very thing we were made for, God himself, isn't our delight right now.
Yeah.
Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Thanks, Peter. Coach, don't you think we deserve a podium? You've got a game plan.
I want the podium.
No, we're just grateful for all the wisdom that comes with this gray hair, and we're going to share it with these guys in the Red Zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
Good job, Brian.
But I think what is extremely important for all of us to remember, it doesn't matter what position in life you're in, is that pain forward, good acts, good deeds, and also being very, very consistent in what you're doing, and doing it for no other reason other than the fact that it's the right thing to do. I can constantly remember in my head, my grandmother, one of her favorite sayings to her grandchildren was, there is no right way to do the wrong thing. And I think that within our hearts, if we truly follow that, just know what the right thing to do is. Do it without any thought of any type of recompense. Do it without any thought of any type of reward, and you'll get rewards 100 times.
We're in the Red Zone now, talking about envy this time on Crossing the Goal, and trying to counter that with gratitude. You guys, I do an early morning television show, actually radio show on EWTN, Sunrise Morning Show. And people ask me, how do you get up in the middle of the night with an attitude of gratitude? That's the only way to face that. You've got some experience with that.
And I think we're going to do that. Rather than focusing on envy, which we've talked about, let's talk about how do you counter that. And that you counter it with gratitude in several things. I got 5 points I'll let you. Everything is a gift of God, even the very breath that we take, that we have to be satisfied with that. Secondly, and you talked about a positive attitude. So many people around now have such a negative attitude. Be positive. If you want to wake up in a bad mood, just tell yourself, I'm going to be in a bad mood. But get up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let's go with a positive attitude. Third, don't put people down. We have a tendency to really not find the good things in people, always find the flaws in them. Next, enjoy life more. Be grateful for the things we do have. You know, we joke around. We do serious stuff here. but we also have fun with joy. We take ourselves too serious, I think, in life. And then when we take ourselves too serious, we start looking too many at other things, other people, what they have and what we don't have.
We don't take you too serious, though.
No, I know. I hope you don't.
We are right now, though. You're dialing in. Good job.
And then not worried about what someone else has and what people might think of us. Mm-hmm. Just be satisfied with what we have and move on.
Yeah, you know, another area where I think as Catholics we're particularly gifted with regards to gratitude is we can go to Mass and we receive the Eucharist, which is a thanksgiving.
That is.
To be able to, right there, I mean, my wife and I have been going to morning Mass together. We've been going to Mass together while we're down here. And to start the day with the Mass and it really allows us to sacramentally give thanks. You know, maybe it's possible to just make, if you don't go to Mass on a daily basis, maybe one day a week to make that commitment, to get up, find that early morning Mass, and go one day a week and watch. It'll change your life. It really will.
No, absolutely.
You know, the antidote to all of it, or the source of gratitude, you might ask, really is Jesus. It's the person of Jesus.
Right.
It's the pearl of great price. There's like inverse proportion. We start in the place where our hearts are empty, and we're easily susceptible to temptation. I envy my brother. I have pride. I covet. Whatever it is. Because I'm missing something inside here. I'm just not satisfied. I'm not at peace. I'm not content. I'm wrestling. I keep thinking, I'm not enough. He's better. I don't like the fact that he's better. How can I get there? Well, why isn't it better for my life? And all of this stuff goes on inside us. We don't see Christ, the pearl of great price, and the beauty and the majesty and the glory of Jesus. Well, how does that happen? Well, if we give the Lord a chance to speak to our hearts, meditating on the scripture, reading the Bible, ask the Lord, Lord, show me your beauty. That's what the saints did. Show me your beauty. Remember, Augustine said, oh, beauty, so ancient yet so new. And when our hearts get filled with the beauty of the Lord, we get thrilled and fascinated and we start to feel full. And all those things we worried about, like St. Paul says, man, I can't believe it. What I used to think was a big deal, now I count as cow manure. Right. Yep. It's nothing. Yep. It really isn't. In light of knowing Christ, are you kidding me? I have hit the lotto. I've hit the jackpot.
Yeah. There are my no more life big
is,
deals.
My life is just soaring because of what God has given me in Christ.
You're looking at the pearl. It comes in Matthew 13. The parable right before it is that the kingdom is like a hidden treasure.
Yeah.
And when you find it, you go and sell all that you have. What's the attitude of the guy when he's selling all he has? He's like, you want to buy my car? That's cool. That's more money because I'm going to buy that field. Once I get the field, the treasure's mine.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be happy to get rid of anything because I found something so much better than all of everything else I have put together. And so when I sell those things, I'm not bemoaning, oh, well, I don't get this or that, and long face. And we as Christians sometimes walk through life going, well, at least we get to go to heaven. What are you talking about? Yeah. We got here now and heaven to boot. Right.
Plus, what you think about envy. Why are we envious? And that's where pride comes in because it's I didn't get the I. That's why I like getting around other men, other guys, and together and meeting and stuff like that. Then you start saying, he's not a bad guy. Because a lot of times you'd say, when you meet someone, I can remember I used to go in bars and stuff and, that guy's a jerk, this guy's a jerk and everything. Then you get around people and really find out they're pretty nice people. You know, the person we used to talk about. And once you get to meet the people, you find out, hey, they're pretty nice people. They're wonderful. Mm. And I think getting out of ourselves and then worrying about other people and taking people, say, the good part about them, what's good about them.
Isn't when we talk like that about other people, isn't that an absolute indicator about our own emptiness? I mean, really it is. All it is, the more you say stuff like that, the more you're just demonstrating the fact that inside you feel lousy about yourself. Well, so you're always trying to pull down. Mm. Always trying to pull people down. Somehow that's going to elevate my game if I pull people down to where I am. I'm feeling so low. I've just pulled them down here. I feel somehow equal or superior or something to them.
Well, you talk about the thing, and down in your heart, you really meant that, and then you act like you try to patch it over and apologize, but you really meant that. You really felt that in your heart, and it'll wear you out.
Yeah.
We don't have to compare ourselves. You know, we can be our best and do the best that we can with the gifts that God's given us without having to put you down to elevate me.
You guys putting me down all the time.
I like to just think of being my best. I don't have to be the best at anything, just my best, and let you be yours and be happy for you.
Yep. Right.
Good point.
And try to do, that's the biggest thing. The Lord didn't ask us to be successful. He just be obedient, try and do the best we can, and be satisfied with that.
Exactly. And some people, you know, some people are just destined to do bigger things in this world. You know what I mean? To impact nations or globe, whatever. But at the end of the day, that it, no matter how big it is, it's never going to satisfy us because we're not made just to produce something great. We're made to be possessed by God Himself. God is giving us Himself. That's the only thing that will ultimately satisfy the human heart. Really, that's why Christ came. And Jesus said, you're going to know a joy. It's going to be my joy, and your joy is going to be full. And we don't have a lot of joy in people's hearts. You know, there's a lot of boredom. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of stuff inside. So that's why we're constantly on the treadmill trying to, you know, fix it, stuff it, distract it, entertain ourselves into oblivion, whatever, because we can't satisfy this emptiness that's in us. And only God can do that.
There's very few cultures that have had the opportunity to fill our lives with more stuff, more noise, more possessions.
Right.
And yet we're a very unhappy people. And sooner or later, you sit back and say, this diet that I've been feeding myself is not satisfying. If you keep eating a certain type of food and it makes you sick, stop eating that food and find something else to eat. We've been designed to feed upon the Lord. And that's what we need to do.
Think about St. Francis, you know, here he was. He was rich. He was a, you know, he was a happening dude when he was young. He had lots of money, had lots of possessions. He met the pearl. He met the king, and he got rid of it all. And then he ends up a leper, living he's poor. He had nothing. And he was radiant with joy. That guy rocked with joy. If you go to Assisi, you still feel it. He was so happy and so full of joy because what he had was the Lord.
The impact he had on the world. Yeah. Right. And we don't have to go to Assisi and all that. We can find it in men right here.
Right.
Think of last night, you and I are walking. Think of Ralph Martin. We were talking about the example, how he's been steady. You know, a brother in Christ, and you, all of us know that look at that person. There's not an envious bone in him.
You're that way.
Well,
seriously, I mean, you just, you ready ever since I know
humble
you.
Too.
I mean, seriously, your heart's after the Lord. I know
that's,
it. I mean,
we're
around.
We follow
your heart is just God directed, and you're living off the King. There's just no question about it.
Well, I know. If I try to do myself, dummy grip that I am, I learned a while back here, I'm going to trust on Him.
I mean, we can all stumble and fall, and we will, you know, at different times. But the truth is, all of us, and the reason we just have so darn much fun together and why we're glad to do this is we sense the presence of the King with us. You know what I mean? And He really is our portion. And we love Him even above everything else in our lives. Sometimes we don't always show it, but that's there. And knowing that, there's a kind of satisfaction and joy, and we kind of experience that fullness that He's talking about.
And there's no envy in us, you know, that we're satisfied. You know, we're tickled to death. We want to know about Focus.
Yeah.
We want to renew. What about your radio shows?
Sunrise, morning sunrise. We're rooting for each other.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's how, don't you feel much better out there?
Yeah.
I mean,
really. We'd like to all be as handsome as you, but other than that, you know.
These guys must want something from me. If you hear all this out there, these guys are looking for more pay or
something.
That's right.
Well, we'll let Danny and each of you guys have the last word. Coming up next, In the End Zone, here on Crossing the Goal.
You guys,
Well, after crossing the goal, we're in the end zone now, our show this time about envy. And I've got a tool, guys, that I use. It's called a gratitude list. If I get mired down in self-pity, I'll put those things that are bothering me on one side and then build a gratitude list on the other side. All the things that I'm grateful for, beginning with life itself, that list goes on ad infinitum, Peter.
Good job. It's wise. You know, I was thinking today of, as we were talking, of Psalm 73. In the psalm, it says a guy's lamenting, and he's saying, why do the wicked prosper? Why don't I have what they have? And he says, until he thought that way, until he went into the sanctuary of the Lord and he beheld the Lord. He didn't care anymore. He beheld the beauty of the Lord. And I want to challenge you today. Ask the Lord. Say, Jesus, who are you? Show me who you are. Show me your beauty and your majesty. Touch my heart that I can perceive your glory and the wonder of who you are so that I can be thrilled and fascinated like every disciple you desire to, so my heart can be full.
Great. I think we're going to see as we look through in this series, we're going after the seven deadly sins, and each of them are root themselves in our soul in a powerful way. When we talk about envy, it's one of those seven, but the way to unroot them is all the same. It's Jesus Christ, as Peter said. And we need to see, I want to go back, we talked a lot about the pearl and these two parables in Matthew 13. They're very short. 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. We need to recognize that today in a busy world, when so many things are competing for our attention, we can tell when we're looking at the wrong things, because one of these, or more than one of these deadly sins will creep into us. The solution is to turn back to Jesus Christ, to go to a quiet place, our bedroom, a church, someplace where we can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I give it all back to you. I would gladly sell all of this to gain the one thing that's greater than all the rest. That's you.
It's attitude. Attitude, man. Get up tomorrow morning, ask the Lord to change the way you look at things. Say, Lord, give me a positive attitude this day. Just start one day at a time. That's all, man.
Thanks, team. Thanks for watching. We're going to tackle lust next time on Crossing the Goal.
Is he sad or is he glad?
He has made me glad.
That's the formula for
he
me.
He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Hey,
he has made me glad.
Stand.
He has made me glad.
I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Hey,
hey. I'm not too bad.